live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. Happy Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Oh, boy. How about Meet the Spartans yesterday? I saw a lot of pictures, a lot of people on social media putting out pictures on Twitter and on Facebook of you guys getting your Spartan memorabilia signed by many, many players as the offense and the defense were made available, as well as head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, signing autographs and taking pictures and whatnot. That was awesome. And how about Josh Butler? Anybody who got an autograph from the big-time secondary star known as Josh Butler, he brought his two pups with him. They are beautiful dogs as well. They're like a pit bull mix. Awesome stuff. That was awesome stuff. That seemed like it was, you know, the highlight or one of the big highlights from yesterday's Meet the Spartans event, as many of you showed up. Thousands, in fact, showed up for Meet the Spartans. I want to talk a bit about Michigan State football later on this hour as we inch closer and closer to day one of the college football year for Michigan State football, at least. When it comes to games, we all know day one of training camp was a while ago. They've been practicing for a long time. The first game, less than 2 weeks away now, taking place on August 30th. That is next week, Friday night, to be exact, against Tulsa at home at Spartan Stadium. I want to talk about Meet the Spartans just briefly. I also want to talk about, you know, when the players were made available to the media yesterday, you know, there was news that came out about the second scrimmage of Michigan State practice, as the Michigan State offense has won its second straight scrimmage. How about that? That's a good sign, right, Spartan fans? Now, I know. I get it. It's just practice, all right? And it's a scrimmage that has a modified scoring system. I get all that. But with the offense winning back-to-back scrimmages, that's got to be some kind of positive sign for what's to come for that offense, all right?
Oh.
Right? Yeah, I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. Because last season, I don't need to, again, to beat your – I don't mean to beat your head over what happened with that offense last season, but any positive sign is a good sign at this point, because of what happened last year. So we'll dive into that second straight scrimmage. And also some new game day initiatives that actually came across my email early this morning, as Michigan State Athletics has tweaked things when it comes to the in-game experience or at-game experience for those who show up to Spartan Stadium and enjoy games. And I think that you'll see a lot of stadiums across the board, not just in college football, but in sports in general, trying to make changes when it comes to the at-game experience for fans, because attendance across the board in sports right now is low. It really is low. And, you know, much of that has to do with the fact that fans out there would rather sit home and watch the game on your HD 4K television. The bathroom is just 10 feet away. You know, the concession stands at the game are just ridiculously priced. So you can go down the street to your local store and grab a bag of chips and your favorite beverage and enjoy the game in the friendly confines of your house. Oh, yeah, and then there's that weather thing, right? So that has a lot to do with why fans are deciding to stay home, thus putting a lot of pressure on athletic directors and GMs out there to scramble and try and make the at-game experience better so that you keep butts in the seat and you can still sell tickets. So I'll tell you about the new initiatives that will be coming to Spartan Stadium this upcoming college football year. You don't want to miss that. And, oh, yeah, I'll be diving into this whole Antonio Brown drama. It continues, folks. I don't know when this thing is going to end, but I want to touch on an interesting theory that I heard this morning. All right? So as you see, a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the show. You can also watch the live stream up and running right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment below that video if you would like to be a part of the hour. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And behind the glass, I want to just give a big shout out because I haven't seen his face in a long, long time because, you know, he moved back home for a minute. But now he's back in the area, at least for the week until the school year officially starts. But engineer Connor Mathis is in the driver's seat behind the glass for this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. Connor, how have you been, man? The Current Sports listeners and viewers out there have missed you.
It's been an interesting 2 weeks.
Because you're a moving situation, right?
Oh, yeah, moving situation. I went down, went back home for a week. One of my younger brothers turned 21 August 12th, so went to West Virginia for that. That was interesting. And then my
interesting.
Car, interesting,
I'm sure it was.
Interesting.
I'm sure it was.
And then my old car decided it was time to go, so had to go car shopping. So it was a real fun time.
Oh man, well, when are you getting the Benz, man?
Not a Benz. I got a Sonata. So
okay,
good,
nice.
good fuel, good mileage on that. So that's good for me. And how expensive gas is. So.
Awesome. What year is it?
It's a 2019. So it was made.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it was made early in the year. So I'm all set.
I'm trying to get on your level, brother. My goodness. All right, Connor, great to have you back, man. Let's keep it pushing. Again, a lot to get to in today's Current Sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. Let's start with Meet the Spartans. And you know what? A big shout out to our current sports viewers on Facebook right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, because I'm seeing a picture from Steven, who is a longtime listener of the show. He tunes in on a daily, and he just shared a picture on our Facebook page of him and Josh Butler and one of two of Josh's dogs. And the dog seems to be like licking licking Steven's face as he takes a picture with Josh, and Josh throwing up a peace sign with a Sharpie in his hand. That's awesome stuff. Great picture. Yeah, I think that was one of the highlights of Meet the Spartans yesterday, as you all, and it's again a really cool opportunity for you all to get up close and personal with the Michigan State football team, as thousands of Michigan State fans filled the concourse at Spartan Stadium yesterday for the 17th annual event on Monday evening. The event gave Spartan fans the chance to meet the entire 2019 team, get autographs from players and head coach Mark D'Antonio. Fans also toured the press box, visited the Spartan Stadium field, like I figured they'd do. I noted that yesterday. And met with Sparty and the Spartan cheerleaders and Dan's team. So again, Michigan State opens up the 2019 campaign on Friday of next week, Friday night against Tulsa, 7 p.m. kickoff time inside of the Spartan Stadium. More on Meet the Spartans and Michigan State football in just a moment. I'll give you an update on what happened last week in the second scrimmage for the Michigan State football team throughout practice. All right, some Michigan football news. The 2019 Michigan Wolverines football team will enter the season with three captains, those being senior guard Ben Bredson, who's one of last year's offensive captains, senior defensive tackle Carlo Kemp, and senior linebacker Kaliki Hudson. So those are the three captains, Connor.
So is the media going to freak out that Shea Patterson wasn't named captain? Are we going to have a media storm about that? Everything's panicked. Michigan's falling apart, right?
You know, I haven't read any of the reaction from Michigan fans about this news, but anytime this is, I don't care what the program is, anytime one of your captains is not your quarterback, you are going to have some negative reaction, and you're going to have fans out there who are reading way too heavily into that being a reality for the team. Because we all know, you know, when it was announced, Connor Cook year, when he was not named a
captain. I think it was the playoff year he wasn't named the captain.
Yeah, the playoff
people
year.
People freaked out.
Exactly. People were, like, going crazy. Like, oh, my goodness, how can you not name Connor Cook a captain? Brian Lewerke, has he been named a captain or no?
Not last year, maybe the year before. They all check that.
Joe Bocci, I know, was a part of that. And Kari Willis, I know. But I don't know if Lewerke, double check that. I don't know why my memory is not ringing a bell there. I don't know. Let's double check on that. But you know, you're going to have fans out there who say, oh, man, how can your quarterback, the guy who plays the most important position on the football field, how can he not be one of your captains?
Last year he was. It was Joe Bocci, Brian Lewerke, Kari Willis.
All right, gotcha. So, yeah, I vividly remember, we all remember the Connor Cook year. So,
there you go. Yeah, and then it came up on draft day, too. Oh, he wasn't a captain.
I know. Yeah, I know. And that's like a knock against you as a quarterback, I guess, when, you know, you start to sit down with these NFL teams hoping to make your NFL dream come true. So, all right, you will get the chance to enjoy some Michigan State sports tonight. How cool is this? As the number 7, yes, they are ranked that high. They are that good, folks. The number 7 Michigan State men's soccer team continues its exhibition season, taking on Butler tonight at 5 p.m. inside of DeMartin Stadium here on MSU's campus. This is the Spartans' only home game during the preseason slate, so take advantage of it. Also, Michigan State last faced Butler in preseason action back in 2017 in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Shindigs National Soccer Festival. The Spartans captured the win 4-1 in its first preseason game. MSU tied UIC 0-0. Nada. In Chicago. Gotta love that. I hate ties, especially ties in which you don't get one goal scored in the world of soccer. But hey, that's the game. That's football for you. All right, last night the Detroit Tigers were mathematically eliminated from the American League Central Division race. They fell. Yep, I know. We all know that for a long, 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 long time now, for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, we have known that the Tigers were not going to win the division. I mean, come on now. But again, technically, mathematically, if you want to be mathematically correct, they are eliminated from the AL Central Division race. So,
when I was back home, my dad works in Baltimore, and he was trying to argue with me that the Orioles are worse than the Tigers, and then I brought up the Tigers' record. So,
Did that shut him up?
The argument was quick.
Yeah, oh, it was really quick. Okay, he didn't know the record, huh? Okay, yeah. But yesterday, the Tigers fell 5-4 to the Houston Astros at Minute Maid Park in a game they once battled but fell a run short. They have lost 3 consecutive games by 1 run. All right, Detroit Lions QB Matthew Stafford said his absence from the first 2 games of the NFL preseason is not in any way related to the back injury he suffered last year. This is what Stafford said Monday, quote, "Oh no, I feel good," end quote. The Lions held Stafford out of Saturday's 30-23 preseason loss at the hands of the Houston Texans, as well as their August 8th loss to the New England Patriots. Stafford also took 6 days off from throwing around the Patriots game. And while both he and the Lions head coach Matt Patricia insist the rest was pre-planned, that hasn't stopped anyone from wondering why a 31-year-old prime of his career QB learning a new offense needs so much time off in August. I addressed this on yesterday's Current Sports. Stop reading into this. The Lions have no backup quarterback. Tom Savage, and he got David Fells. Tom Savage is dealing with a brain injury. Why would you risk? I understand. New offense, I get it. But why would you risk your franchise quarterback who has been beaten up his entire career wearing the Honolulu Blue jersey? Why would you even risk it at all during a meaningless preseason game? Ran over. Stafford is coming off one of the worst statistical seasons of his career when he threw fewer than 4,000 yards, committed 15 turnovers, and played the end of the season through a painful back injury. The Antonio Brown story. It continues. Yeah. It's a clown show. Yes, it is. Thank you for that, Connor. This is why we missed you, man. You are like the king of drops. Thank you for that, Connor. As according to multiple reports, Brown has filed a new grievance against the NFL in an attempt to wear the helmet he's worn throughout his career. ESPN was the first to report this development, citing a source last night. This course of action comes a week after his original grievance against the NFL, since that was rejected by an arbitrator. Now, Brown has disagreed with that decision, obviously. And the wide receiver skipped the Oakland Raiders practice on Sunday in protest over the helmet issue. This drew the criticism of Raiders GM Mike Mayock, who read his comments yesterday, saying that, look, man, it's basically time for you to be all in or all out. On Monday, Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, he responded to Mayock's comments saying, quote, "We are looking for a permanent solution," end quote. More on that story in just a moment. Soccer superstar Cristiano Ronaldo's lawyers revealed for the first time in court documents the amount that he paid to settle allegations that he raped a woman in the Las Vegas hotel back in 2009. Catherine Mayorga has maintained that Ronaldo paid $375,000 in a settlement and confidentiality agreement after she accused him of sexual assault. Now, the agreement is at the heart of a lawsuit Mayorga filed in state court in 2018 seeking to invalidate the agreement. The Portuguese footballer, who currently plays for Juventus, insists the encounter was consensual. In a motion filed Friday asking to dismiss Mayorga's lawsuit, Ronaldo's legal team acknowledged that he did in fact pay $375,000 to, quote, maintain the confidentiality of their dispute, end quote. Mayorga's lawsuit, which was filed in federal court, asked the court to invalidate the 2010 agreement on the grounds that Ronaldo and his legal team took advantage of her fragile emotional state to coerce her into signing it. And this is just really sad news here, as Wendy Anderson, the wife of Arkansas State coach Blake Anderson, sadly passed away last night following a battle with cancer. She was just 49 years old. Blake Anderson confirmed the news via Twitter, writing, quote, "She passed as peacefully and as gracefully as you could ever hope, just a few minutes before midnight with me laying right beside her." Wow. Blake Anderson took a leave of absence on Monday to be with his family. Assistant head coach and defensive coordinator David Duggan took over as interim coach and will continue to do so until Anderson's return. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, what it's like to lose, you know, someone that you make vows with, someone who is your husband or wife, that young of an age as well. Wow. Thoughts and prayers to Blake Anderson and his entire family and friends. Just 49 years old. Okay, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News to watch and comment below the live stream. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. It's Tuesday. Hope you guys are having a great Tuesday out there. It is August 20th of 2019. Before I keep pushing here, you know, I am also excited. You guys know I'm a huge movie buff, huge entertainment buff in general, but one of my favorite movie franchises of all time, I'm sure it's in the hearts of many of our listeners out there as well, but the James Bond movies, the James Bond series, you know, there have been so many great James Bonds over the course of that franchise. I mean, you know, a lot of people bring up, you know, Sean Connery, you know, Pierce Brosnan is who I grew up on back in the 90s. I do believe, though, you know, this debate goes on for ages, but I do believe, though, that the man who is currently Bond, and this will be his final film in 2020, Daniel Craig, I believe that he has been the best Bond of all time. Let the whole debate begin on that whole thing. But I'm excited because I'm passing along this news to you guys. If you haven't heard, the new Bond, which will come out, I believe, April of 2020, has a title now. I've been waiting for this because this is the 25th anniversary of the James Bond movies, and we finally have a title, and that title is No Time to Die. I love that. It's awesome stuff. Awesome title. So Daniel Craig in his final, in what will be his final movie playing the famed spy or secret agent that he is for MI6, the latest rendition of the movie titled No Time to Die. Love that. So I can't wait to check that one out. All right, folks. Antonio Brown. Oh, boy. Here we go again. I'm pretty sure many of you out there are saying, oh, my goodness. Again, Al? Yes, again. Very timely, seeing as though Hard Knocks, it comes on every single Tuesday night on HBO. I've been enjoying it, as I usually do. One of my favorite sports doc series out there. And
season's been great.
It's been pretty good. I will say this, though. I don't think that it has been so far better than the Cleveland Browns, because that was a really, really good season. That's just, they had so many personalities there. I don't know. It just worked last year. I love Hugh Jackson. I think John Gruden really makes this year's Hard Knocks. He's awesome to watch. He's so animated. The dude is made for TV. All right. And, you know, tonight will be the new episode, tonight at 10 p.m. on HBO. And I'm wondering how, we debated this last week. I feel like it's deja vu, right? We were wondering just how extensively will HBO be pulling back the curtain on everything, all of the drama that has occurred with the best wide receiver in all of football, arguably, in Antonio Brown, because it has been more drama this offseason concerning Antonio Brown than a weekly episode of Love and Hip Hop on VH1. It has been that crazy, folks. It's just something every single week. And I do want to ponder this, because this is a theory that has been out there since this morning. I've been reading this a lot, because at first it was the whole cryotherapy incident, right, where Antonio Brown overseas, in order to recover from a workout, he decided to go into a cryotherapy machine, which has temperatures well below zero, in order to be used as a method to heal the body. He goes into this cryotherapy machine. He doesn't wear the proper footwear. He comes out. He feels as though his feet are on fire. There's some stinging going on. And then all of a sudden, you realize it's a more serious problem. And eventually, we read that Antonio Brown is frostbitten on his feet, where he can barely practice, can barely run. I mean, he was still training, but I mean, goodness gracious. Then the whole picture with his feet and, you know, the skin is peeling off. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. So that delays Antonio Brown's progress. And then this whole situation concerning the helmet that Antonio Brown wants to wear. He wants to wear a certain helmet that he's been wearing for years, but the NFL has come out and said that, no, due to safety concerns, you can no longer wear that helmet. Antonio Brown says, no, that's crap. I want to wear this helmet, so I'm going to file a grievance against the National Football League. That grievance fails, and now in the latest story, he has since filed an appeal. Well, I believe he filed an appeal to the first grievance, and then he decided to file another grievance against the NFL. Huh. I mean, yeah, so this is two grievances. The first grievance, he files an appeal for that grievance and loses, and now he's going to file a second grievance. So on the grounds with this second grievance of not having enough time. You know, because if you look at it, you can argue, I guess, when it comes to some part of how you can defend Antonio Brown, I guess he didn't, you know, when comparing this helmet change for him to helmet changes of the past, I'm reading this a lot, you know, when Tom Brady and other guys were notified that, okay, you can't wear that helmet that you've been wearing for a long time, they were given more time to prepare for it, at least a year to prepare for it. Antonio Brown is arguing that, okay, you gave them a year, I need to be given a year. This was kind of sprung up on me. So, this is the theory that I've been reading out there and may have some validity to it. I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. But because of how embarrassing the whole cryotherapy incident was, because that is solely on Antonio Brown. And you can make the argument that it probably was on the cryotherapy company as well. You would think there would be some liability issues there. You want to make sure anybody who is using your equipment wears the proper equipment when going in there to recover, or else you would think that a lawsuit could ensue. I don't know. That's a whole nother discussion. But Antonio Brown, I'm sure that wasn't his first time using a cryotherapy machine as a preferred method of recovery. You would think that he would wear the proper footwear. That's on him. He just looks like an idiot there. You know, that's self-imposed affliction. All right? And it makes you look so silly that, okay, I'm going to make a big deal about this whole helmet situation to distract everybody with how stupid I was in this whole cryotherapy situation. I don't know. Is that a valid theory? Are you buying that? I'm not sure. I'll say this, though. I wouldn't put anything past Antonio Brown. At this point, the dude is reminding me of drama-filled wide receiver who also had a big personality, who did things against the grain and caused a lot of ruckus inside of a locker room and within multiple organizations, that being the late, great Terrell Owens. T.O., get your popcorn ready, right? All the drama between him and Donovan McNabb, and then he came to the Cowboys, and then all of that drama, and then that's my quarterback, man, and then doing push-ups in the driveway. You better believe, when it comes to these big-time personalities in the National Football League, they're loving the press. I'm sure Antonio Brown is sitting back and loving this because his name is on the lips of so many out there. I mean, heck, from here to Pluto, every sports talk show is talking about the dude in some way, shape, or form. People are calling in and weighing in. People on Twitter are weighing in. People are texting their homies and weighing in. People at the barbershops are talking about Antonio Brown. I mean, this dude is everywhere. And for a guy as egotistical as Antonio Brown, you better believe he is loving this kind of coverage. I don't put anything past Antonio Brown. If he is using this as smoke and mirrors, because nobody's talking about this whole cryotherapy thing anymore. We still don't know the whole story about how does that even happen. You know, again, I'm guessing that wasn't the first time that Antonio Brown used the cryotherapy machine as a preferred method of recovery. You were not thinking, and you hinder your team's progress by you not being on the field. So, let me make a big deal about this helmet thing so that people aren't talking about that. I wouldn't put it past Antonio Brown. I don't put anything past Antonio Brown at this point anymore. So what should the Raiders do here? Because they are certainly placed, you know, in a rock and a hard place. They really are. What do you do? Because, I mean, you made a big move. You made a big splash in getting Antonio Brown. Again, arguably one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League, in hopes that he will be one of, if not the centerpiece for your offense come this upcoming season. And now this drama hits you and smacks you in the mouth. So, you know, it was a good move, I think, by Mike Mayock, who expressed his frustration with Brown's continued practice absences on Sunday. I really like what Mike Mayock had to say, courtesy of the Oakland Raiders Twitter feed, because I think that, you know, you can't enable this kind of behavior. You can't enable this, man. Either you're in or out. What's up? We saw what happened in Pittsburgh. That's not going to happen here with my organization, even though it is. But either you're going to be in or you are going to be out. But really, I mean, what can the Raiders do? Now, I read this from Peter King, and I've heard this float around as well out there. Should the Raiders send Antonio Brown the dreaded five-day letter? Should they pull that trigger? Because Peter King and a few others out there, some other big names who cover the NFL, have come out and said, at this point, it's becoming, to use the same pun that I used earlier in the show in our headliners, it's become a clown show. It's become a sideshow and a bit of a distraction for an Oakland Raiders team that I believe is one of the teams that has a spotlight on it right now because you're on Hard Knocks. You know, John Gruden's what? This is his second year, right, Connor? This is John Gruden's second year. You know, there's some pressure on this franchise and the whole move to Vegas. There's some hype around this franchise, and they don't want a distraction like this. So, if you don't know what the five-day letter is, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a letter that is sent to a player, and it's absolutely dreaded. I don't think it's ever been used. It's like the last resort to the last resort. The letter would force that player, in this case Antonio Brown, to report to camp by the end of the week. You got 5 days, brother. Report to camp by the end of the week or be placed on the reserve or left squad list, which would make him ineligible for the entire 2019 campaign. And would forfeit the guaranteed salary on his contract. Whoa. Basically, kicking him out the league for a year. Wow. And the Raiders owe Brown $29.1 million. That's no drop in the bucket in guaranteed salary over the next two seasons. So if they send him the five-day letter and he does not report, those guarantees would be wiped off the table. Raiders wouldn't have to pay it. They could also suspend him for conduct detrimental to the team and void the guarantees. At this point, it's become so insane in the membrane with this whole thing. And again, you are hindering the progress of your team so much. This is becoming such a huge distraction. I'm sure many players out there are having to answer those questions with, can't talk about it. We're focused on us. We're just going out there day by day and trying to get better. You'll hear that a lot. And I'm pretty sure after the fifth time of being asked about Antonio Brown, it really gets on your nerves. It really ticks you off. So, I got to say this, Connor. I don't think that should be off the table. I do not believe that this dreaded five-day letter should be off the table because at this point, man, the brew is boiling, dude. It's like, how many times can you do this to us? You know, okay, you had the foot injury. Cool, we'll be patient with that. All right, now you got a situation with the helmet. Okay, well, you know, all right, well, you filed a grievance. It didn't happen. Are you going to join us now? I mean, you know what the guidelines are? The helmet can't be more than 10 years old. I saw y'all on social media putting things out there. Have you found a helmet yet? Oh, wow. Now you're going to file another grievance? I mean, time is ticking here. You know, and you're not practicing with the team. You didn't show up on Sunday. We're paying you all this money, especially in the guaranteed money, all that money and guarantees. I don't think it should be off the table, Connor. It has gotten, I hate to say it because I think Antonio Brown is he is certainly a dynamic talent. I mean, this dude is one of a kind. He's going to be, and I think, you know, arguing about T.O., right? I brought up Terrell Owens. I think this whole situation, if it continues like this, this could hinder Antonio Brown being a first ballot Hall of Famer. He'll get into the Hall of Fame. We all know that. But you know how the NFL Hall of Fame is. You know, they look at, oh, how much ruckus did you cause off the field? Even though it shouldn't be about that. It should be about your production on the field, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's getting to the point now where it's like, like Mike Mayock said, are you all in or all out? Let us know. And if you continue this and don't communicate with us,
I don't think they should put that off the table. I think it should be one of the things that they at least ponder, Connor. That's all I'm saying. Your thoughts on this whole fiasco?
Well, a couple things. The second grievance that he's filed is different from the first. It's part of it is the grace period that you saw with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, which is at the core of the first complaint.
He's saying that, look, man, you gave those guys a year. And I get it from that standpoint. You gave them more time. Mm-hmm. But at a certain standpoint, dude, it's like, crying, man.
The other part of it is he found two helmets, and the only reason he's filing the grievance is because the NFL hasn't tested those helmets. They fall within the 10-year limit, but the NFL hasn't tested those helmets. So the other part of that grievance is him essentially saying to the NFL, hey, test these. I'm good with these. Let me know. Because if the NFL tests those and one of them ends up being fine, my understanding is that he's fine. He's cool with it. And then we don't have to worry about the second part of the agreement. But that's beside the point. I'm going to play the other side of it a little bit here.
Oh, boy. Okay,
now, bear with me here. It's Antonio Brown. It's preseason. He has the preseason reps. I understand. It's frustrating. And by no means has Antonio Brown played this well at all. I think if he comes to some sort of compromise, especially now that his feet are healed up, he comes to.
Are they though?
They're not 100%. NFL Network. I was watching a report that like about 10 minutes before the show that they said his feet are good to go. He's been doing workouts and things like that.
He can probably work out, but he's probably those puppies were bad.
Yeah,
man. Those puppies were howling, dude.
Exactly. Right? How much you can, because that's coming from Antonio Brown's people. The Raiders people have not said anything about it, but you know, from the report on the NFL Network. He can at least work out. So if he meets them in like a middle ground and starts coming to practices and doing what he can and goes to team meeting, if you're the Raiders, I think what you do is you can just fine him. Do that. Because first off, they haven't even done that much. So fine him for missing the full contact stuff, the preseason games. And again, it doesn't have to be extraordinary. Just something to let the other players know, like, look, we're understanding that this is ridiculous. But if I'm the Raiders, it's Antonio Brown. If you get rid of him, someone's going to come and get him.
Oh, certainly. Without a doubt. I mean,
so if I'm in their position, I kind of grit and bear it. If he's willing to meet you halfway, I grit and bear it. I fine him for a little bit of missed time,
right,
and I see how the season plays out. Because let's be honest.
He's got to meet you halfway.
Exactly.
That's the key. Antonio Brown right now, he didn't show up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He showed up on Monday. I'm seeing some comments about that. He showed up on Monday, but they didn't even suit up on Monday.
It was a team meeting.
He
suited up for a team meeting, and
yeah,
I believe he suited up for the wide receivers meeting, which isn't
practice.
The same as practice, by no means.
No, you just meet with the team. You're just sitting there. You're sitting at the table. He did what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting down. He didn't practice with the team. So I saw that cleared up on NFL Network yesterday. So if he meets you halfway and he's willing to go out there and practice and shows you that, all right, I'm making some steps here at least – when it comes to practicing with the team and trying to do what I can to develop some type of chemistry. And this is another thing, Connor, when it comes to this whole stupid helmet situation, you're eventually, even though you may play this year with your preferred helmet, it's got to be less than, 10 years old. Next year, you're going to have to make that move regardless.
Well, the ones that he found were 2014, 2015 models. So
he wasn't on the edge.
He's got a couple years to adjust. Well, he'll have that grace period. But from the Raiders' perspective, last year, they were garbage. They signed John Gruden to a 10-year, $100 million deal. They weren't expecting this overnight. So if I'm from the Raiders' position, what it's looking like is that Derek Carr's probably not going to be there for the long run. See what you get from Antonio. Grit and bear it for preseason, because let's be real, he does not need the preseason.
No, he doesn't.
Let's grit and bear it for the preseason, ride it out, and then when it comes to regular season, see what he does. If he is a bum this year and
he's going to be great, if
by some stretch of the imagination, the lack of preseason ref comes to bite him, or the injury didn't heal up, or whatever it may be, then you can reevaluate and kind of do it like they did with Randy Moss, who while he was with the Raiders was disgruntled, and his production was down a little bit. Ship him to someone else. Ship him to the highest bidder. You can do that because there's going to be a demand from, regardless of all this extracurricular junk, because the NFL does not just throw away talent like Antonio Brown.
I always say, does your talent outweigh the distraction? This is what I was saying, telling Jack. I'm like, well, aren't you glad the Lions didn't go after Antonio Brown? And I'm like, dude, it's Antonio.
He did Antonio Brown.
I'm mad that they didn't. They should have got him. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're the Detroit Lions, what do you got to lose? He's the best, arguably the best wide receiver in the game today. So I'm willing to go through that drama if it still means that there's a possibility that he will suit up in the regular season for you. I mean, he's a dynamic football talent. And at the end of the day, Antonio Brown's talent, even with all this crap going on, it does outweigh the distraction. But the key is he's got to show up.
He's
got to
meet him.
He's got to meet him. Like you said, he's got to meet him halfway. You got to at least show up to team meetings, at least get to know your teammates better, at least be there in the building, on the field, not just in the building, but on the field trying to do something to be there for your team. Yeah. Right now, I think he's just being selfish.
Yeah.
Simple as that,
and,
man. So.
Yeah. If the Raiders were like a fringe contender or they were fringe playoffs, I would have a different position. I'd say you got to get there because, you know, you're on the cusp. But right. They're not. They're a rebuild. In all likelihood, in the next 2 years, Derek Carr is going to be gone. So, if I'm the Raiders,
I'm
just sitting.
Really, you're not big on Derek Carr,
No,
man.
No. I mean, he's.
He hasn't impressed me hard knocks. I'll tell you that.
He's okay, he's but right. I mean, like, yeah, are you going to say Derek Carr? Yeah, this is my Super Bowl winning quarterback.
That's what the Raiders think right now, apparently.
So I don't think he's going to be there long. And this looks like it's a long term rebuild. So see what you got with your asset. And if it pans out, great. Then next year you probably won't have this garbage. And if it happens again, then you can reevaluate from there too. So
such a headache, man. I tell you, these prima donna wide receivers really just grind my gears sometime. It is what it is, though, man. Antonio Brown, this is a story that, unlike any other story ever in NFL history, you know, frostbitten feet due to a cryotherapy and a helmet issue. Oh, boy. Okay. First break. When we come back, we'll talk about Meet the Spartans last night, as many of you showed up at Spartan Stadium. And I want to talk about the MSU offense winning its second straight scrimmage. And also, later on this hour, we'll get to a few game day initiatives. Some of those that you guys saw yesterday. If you attended Meet the Spartans last night, you saw some of these initiatives in place to try and get more butts in the seat at Spartan Stadium. Will it work? We'll talk about that as well. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Meet the Spartans was a hit in its 17th year now. It affords you all, Michigan State football fans, the opportunity to head to Spartan Stadium and get up close and personal with the team for that upcoming season. And, you know, just an awesome event. From what I saw on social media, so many fans taking pictures and, you know, getting autographs. And, you know, I mentioned Josh Butler, who had his two dogs there. You know, I'm a dog lover. I have a pup of my own. I've got a, you know, when I say I got a dog, people think, oh, Al must have like a German Shepherd or some, you know, pit bull. I did own a pit bull when I was growing up in Detroit, but I know I have a small little Morkie, man. That's my baby, man. She's a little Maltese and Yorkie mix, Connor.
I can't do small dogs. I'm just afraid I'm gonna trip over it. Like I need a big dog because I know if I trip over, I'm getting hurt and the dog's not getting hurt.
Well, part of the reason was, you know, I had no idea. I guess my allergen was like at bay because I've always been around dogs my whole life. But then I went off to college here at Michigan State and was around, you know, was away from dogs. So that allergen that was, you know, it had built up some kind of immunity, it went away. And I found out later on that I was allergic to dogs. So if I'm around a big dog, because, you know, and this whole hypoallergenic dogs, that's a myth. There's no dogs are hypoallergenic. There are some that give off more dander than others, and I can't be around big dogs like that, man, or else I start, you know, my asthma kicks in, so I have to have a small dog. But that's my baby, man. I love my dog. You know, it's amazing how attached you get to your little furry friends after a while. And it was awesome to see Josh Butler, man, with his two pit bulls
and the hat.
In the hat, yeah,
it was a look.
Didn't he have like the bucket hat?
No, it was a cowboy hat.
Dallas Cowboys hat?
No, it was just an actual cowboy hat.
I'm so stuck into my cowboy fandom. So when you say cowboy, I'm like, oh, the Dallas Cowboys? Okay, no, he had an actual cowboy hat.
Keep dreaming. I don't think he's going to go to your defense.
So he's getting his Lil Nas X on then, huh? The Old Town Road. So he rocked a cowboy hat. I did not see that. I probably didn't pay attention to the cowboy hat. I was looking at the dogs. So that's awesome stuff. But many of you guys showed up, and, you know, just an awesome experience, you know, for you guys to just get up close and personal with the team. And thousands showed up yesterday on what was really a gorgeous day to do so as well. And then some news came out about Michigan State's second scrimmage, and the Michigan State offense has now claimed back-to-back scrimmage victories, topping the defense. Yeah, I know, right? 49-48 was the final score of this. Again, it's a modified scoring system. I believe in the first scrimmage, they also had a one-point victory courtesy of a Theo Day touchdown pass. That was like 38-39, something like that. But 49-48 was the final on Friday. And again, you know, as far as specific details as to what happened in the scrimmage, you're not going to get that. You know, these guys are tight-lipped about that. You know, they don't want to give, you know, they don't want to put anything out there. Coach D and his staff doesn't want to put anything out there that will give the competition any kind of advantage out there. So all you're going to hear is, yeah, we did this good or we did that bad or we need to improve on this, that kind of thing. So this time around, the MSU offense drove for a game-winning field goal as redshirt senior QB Brian Lewerke led the way on that drive. This is what he had to say yesterday. Quote, "I think we played solid but probably wasn't as clean as the first one, but it was still good. We just kind of started slow. The offense did. Then we started picking it up at the end. The defense had a good start." Again, in that first scrimmage, it was a late TD pass from Theo Day to Daryl Stewart Jr. And this time it was Brian Lewerke leading the offense down the field for a game-winning field goal. This is what Mike Tressel had to say, defensive coordinator for the Spartans. Quote, We get put in a lot of tough situations, which is what we want. We really limited a lot of our top guys' reps, just trying to be smart. But a lot of the guys that we are going to need to play at various times throughout the year got a lot of turns. I thought it went well. So, now I don't want to read too much in this because, again, it is a modified scoring system. It is practice. We're talking about practice, to steal the line from the great Allen Iverson. But as I stated earlier in the show, any kind of progress right now, any kind of positive review from the Michigan State football offense is a good one, because I'm pretty sure Spartan fans are still waking up at night in cold sweats, replaying and reliving through your dreams, which were nightmares last season. Many horrible plays from the offense last season, which that offense was ranked like 3,000th in the nation. It was really, really bad.
Still have nightmares about the Nebraska game.
Yeah, exactly.
Horrifying.
You have flashbacks, right? You have flashbacks, Connor. I mean, it was really, really bad. So there are numerous reasons for that, but the fact that, you know, Brian Lewerke is healthy and he's tossing the pill around and people are catching it and moving that offense around, that's great stuff. That's what you want to hear. I will ask this question out there, though, because I think that if Michigan State football, Connor, if they don't put up at the very least 30-plus against Tulsa in that win, you are going to have many Spartan fans who will feel like it's a loss. And I get it. I totally get it. If, you know, I think that the money number that Michigan State wants to hit on against Tulsa come Friday night, August 30th, the money number for me, I would like to see Michigan State put up at least 45 points, or at least somewhere in the 40s. I would like 45, but if they put up like 41, 42, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You know, we'll come here on the show, that first show after that Friday on September 2nd, you know, which is Labor Day. We'll do our Labor Day show, and man, I can just hear the callers. I can just read the comments right now. Oh, boy. Watch out for Michigan State this season. That offense is going to be great. Big Ten championship. I'm smelling it. Indy, here we come. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to feel great. That defense is already going to be good. We all know that. We all know that. Stevie Wonder can see that. But Stevie and many can't see what this offense is going to do this upcoming year. But again, in order to feel like you truly won that game, that you truly beat Tulsa, you got to score at least 40 in my book. 30, you're going to be on the fence. There are going to be some people that say, you know, that say, oh, you scored 30 points against Tulsa, you look good. But there's still going to be some that say, only 30 points against Tulsa, it's Tulsa. You got to put up at least 40, in my opinion, 45, but at least 40. So we'll see what happens, man. Am I right on that? Am I accurate in saying that? What number do you think will make you feel comfortable and confident against Tulsa? What number will make you feel good about the MSU offense after that game? How many points must the offense put up? I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKARnews. Comment below that video. Tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. And tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, as we hit the home stretch of today's show. When we come back after the second break, I'll talk about the new in-game, at-game initiatives that are in place this upcoming MSU football season in hopes of putting butts in the seat and making your in-game, at-game experience better. We'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are in the home stretch of the show now. I just addressed, you know, what happened at Meet the Spartans yesterday. A great event and opportunity for you guys to mix and mingle up close and personal with the 2019 Michigan State football team. And I also stated that in order for Michigan State fans out there to truly feel like you beat Tulsa and to feel comfortable about this upcoming season, next week, Friday night against Tulsa, I feel like Michigan State football has to at least put up points in the 40s in order to feel like you truly have put the wheels somewhat back on the track after what happened last season. You got to put up points somewhere in the 40s, in my opinion. If you're in the 30s, you're going to have some people out there. You're going to be split. It's going to be 50-50. 30 points against Tulsa? Really? And then you're going to have some out there to say, 30 points is pretty good against Tulsa. So I don't think it's Tulsa. My goodness. Shouldn't be that hard to score in the 40s there. So Ben agrees with me. He says between 40 and 50 points, and he would feel good about, you know, Michigan State football after that game. Connor, for you, what about you before we go to our phone lines?
I want 31 points. Really? And okay. I want turnovers. I want
which
forced. I figure I'm going to get it. But if I get 31 points and like 3 to 4 turnovers, I'll be content.
You'll be fine with 30 points then. Okay,
31. So mine, 31. If it's 30, then that means that they kicked the field goal and they didn't score the extra bit. I want 31 plus.
See, I want 40. Give me 40. It's Tulsa. It is Tulsa.
I would welcome it, but I also am holding back expectations.
Okay. All right. I feel you. I feel you, brother. Phone lines right now. Ray from Indiana is on line one. My man Ray, what's up, man?
You beat the Bullies and it's a super year. That's all you need to do.
That's all you care about, I know, Ray. You just want to see
That's
Michigan
right.
State beat Michigan.
Hey, 3 more days. It's my 70th birthday.
Whoa.
You Bullies out there, I hope you're listening. You didn't break my spirit back in 2006 and you ain't broke it yet, but we'll be breaking yours for long when the Army whips your butt. And then Notre Dame beats your butt, and Michigan State, and Ohio State, and then you go on the road, lose to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin and Penn State, and then you beat the mediocre team 6-6, Jimmy. It won't be long now, Jimmy. They're going to have to fire you. We're going to force their hand, Jimmy.
That's all Ray wants for his 70th birthday is a 6-6 Michigan football year. I hear you, Ray. Let's see if the birthday gods grant that for you.
That's right. God bless you, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Always good hearing from you. And, yeah, that's Ray. He is and real quick, I'm going to lead the show with this tomorrow, Connor. I want to just pass along the new at-game initiatives that are put in place for Michigan State football this upcoming season at Spartan Stadium. Check this. Banner graphics honoring each of MSU's 86 first-team All-Americans will be displayed throughout the concourse, along with a Gruff Sparty selfie station. I love the Gruff Sparty logo. Inside,
one of the best logos in sports.
It is the best. But there will be a Gruff Sparty selfie station inside the student entrance and a mural in the North Concourse highlighting some of the top players in Spartan Stadium history. Spartan fans will also notice new field-level LED boards placed on both the north and south end zone walls. Pretty cool. Also, fans of all ages have the opportunity to participate in various activities prior to each game at the Meyer Fan Fest in Munn Field in front of IM West. Also, hungry and thirsty Spartan fans lining up to purchase concessions will be allowed to keep track of the action while waiting in the line. Finally, this is long overdue, 55 TV monitors. 55 monitors have been installed in the concourse. And MSU has not increased concession prices for two consecutive seasons. So, also, there's a new Sparty's locker room location around the stadium as well, which is all great. But I don't know if that's enough, Connor.
I don't think it's enough, but I guess they heard our rant a couple weeks ago. He didn't change things.
They heard us go off.
They heard us.
I'm pretty sure they heard us and many, many people moaning and groaning about the in-game, at-game experience at Spartan Stadium. And not just that. In all of sports right now, this is an umbrella problem in all of sports right now because, frankly, man, just sitting at home watching the game in 4K, it's just more appealing to fans out there. It just is right now. So, all right, I'll address more on that during tomorrow's current sports. But until then, I want you all to do me a favor and have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday. We'll be back at it same time, same place. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.